Good morning, brothers and sisters. We'll start our meeting this morning by singing together the second hymn, hymn number 2. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Hymn 2. Thy goodness, Lord, our souls confess, thy goodness we adore, a spring whose blessings never fail, a sea without a shore. Hymn 50.
Thank you.
We now have much pleasure, my dear brethren and sisters, in asking Brother Gary to give to us the word of exhortation.
My dear brethren and sisters, we have in the four Gospels a divinely given record of the life of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Divine wisdom guided the chosen writers to remember all the things they had heard Jesus say. Or in Luke's case, whose gospel we are reading at present, what had been reported to him. The gospel records were necessary to not only give facts about Jesus, but the life of Jesus. It was a pattern of life. It was necessary that those who believed should know about him, that they might follow his example. The Lord's perfect life as an example of that holiness which men and women should seek. Our first century brethren had Jesus as their Lord ever before them, as one whom they must serve and follow. The Gospels were no doubt copied for each ecclesia, so they could be read as brethren and sisters were gathered in their meetings to learn of Christ. The ecclesia was their life. They were called from the despair and corruption of the world, and they found joy and consolation, instruction and edification as they grew in knowledge of the one who was meek and lowly, gentle and gracious. Of the four writers, Luke was the only one who had no association with Jesus in the days of his flesh. And so far as can be gathered, he had only heard of Jesus after the Lord's ascension into heaven. So, dear brethren and sisters, what do we know about Luke himself? There is little recorded of this faithful servant, but what is beneficial for us to consider by way of exhortation this morning. Before we partake of the emblems in memory of our absent Lord and Master, whom we come to remember today. As we have said, Luke, as far as we can gather, never met Jesus. Yet, dear brethren and sisters, he chose to follow him. He chose to learn all that he could about him, and he shares his findings with us. How privileged we are, then, to be able to read his account of the life of our Master recorded for us in God's holy word. Surely Luke never dreamed that 2,000 years would elapse and men and women would still enjoy his writings. We have never met Jesus, yet each one of us has chosen to follow him. Let us then all learn all we can about him. Luke recounts in his gospel the great principles that should guide all who respond to Jesus' call to service and fellowship. He recounts the blessedness of the poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, those who are hated of mankind, those who are cast out for the Son of Man's sake. He brings out in his gospel the perils of those who cause others to stumble, the duty of forgiveness, and the fervency and persistence of prayer. There is much, then, in his writings that can guide us on our walk to the kingdom. About Luke, we really know very little. There are only three references to him in the New Testament, found in Colossians chapter 4, Philemon, and the 2nd of Timothy chapter 4. From these we can say two things for sure. Firstly, Luke was a doctor. Secondly, he was one of Paul's most valued helpers and loyal friends, for he was a companion in his last imprisonment. We can also work out the fact that Luke was a Gentile, because in Colossians chapter 4 verse 11, he is distinguished from those of the circumcision. So then we have the very interesting fact that Luke is the only Gentile author in the New Testament. As a doctor, Luke would have had an excellent education. Medical centres existed in Alexandria, Athens, Tarsus, and Luke would probably have attended one of these to receive his medical training. Whilst the rank of a physician or doctor in those days was not as high as now, a doctor was usually a man of education and culture. Apart from Luke's qualifications for his own medical work, he had a notable literacy talent. To sum this up then, Luke had an excellent education. He was a man of culture and had a talent for writing. There are some lessons here for us all, aren't there, dear brothers and sisters? This man could have got on in life, so to speak. He could have been put in high esteem amongst the people around him. Did he choose to do this? No. He chose to put all his skills into writing and learning about the one who laid down his life for his friends. Luke took on board Jesus' challenge to deny himself and to take up the cross and follow him. And dear brothers and sisters, we owe Luke a debt of gratitude for his watchful and meticulous care of the Apostle Paul's bodily ills, for the strength of his presence at his side during his hours of deepest need. We know Luke was faithful in his adherence to Paul to the very end. For the aged apostle writes in the 2nd of Timothy in chapter 4, "Only Luke is with me." This is a touching tribute to a devoted companion amongst general defection. Although it was a dangerous post, he had remained faithful. Dear brethren and sisters, he is a man surely we cannot help but to love dearly. Our companions are those we walk toward the kingdom with. Do we show care and strength of presence at their side, especially in hours of deepest need? Our dear Lord and Master has commanded that we do this. What does he say? Let's read together his words in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 34 to 40. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." From these words then, dear brothers and sisters, we see that acceptance into God's kingdom is leading a life of helping others. Giving food and drink to the needy, helping the sick, giving hospitality, visiting those in prison. These verses cover every form of kind service. Our Lord's commandments require us to bear one another's burdens. Luke continuously took care of the needs of others. He ministered tirelessly to the needs of his brethren. Our Master said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." What an exhortation for us all. As we have said, Luke's name is only mentioned three times in the Bible. And the main reason for the few times he is mentioned by name is his humility, dear brethren and sisters. For never once does he name himself in his writings of the Acts of the Apostles. The word humility is described in the dictionary as a state of being humble, modest, meek, self-abased, or submissive. Our English word has its roots in the Latin name humus, the ground, and implies an abasement of oneself to the ground. Perhaps one of the best definitions describes it as a moral virtue that inclines us from the reverence towards God to abase ourselves and to keep ourselves in the place that we see is due to us. The importance of this virtue springs from the fact that it is found in the character of God. Pride is a barrier to friendship with God, and we can do nothing to please him unless we have some degree of humility. An example of Luke's humility is found in Acts chapter 16, where we have the record of the arrival of Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke at Philippi, and the labours in that city. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16 and read from verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out by the city, by a river, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, Luke gives himself no credit for the success of their labours. He says, Lydia attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Luke is happy for Paul to be in the forefront, and this emerges in some of the episodes recounted in Acts 27 and 28. There is no section of the book of Acts which is more strikingly features the features of humility than the narrative of the voyage to Rome and the shipwreck on Malta. Luke focuses our attention always on Paul. Doubtless Paul was a bolder character. He was essentially the type to be a leader. But dear brothers and sisters, Luke was also a passenger on the same ship as Paul and shared with him the perils of the deep. He suffered the same hardships and distresses, yet he never says a word about his own experiences or hazards or any opinion or criticism. Dear brothers and sisters, such meekness is without parallel. To the world, meekness is foolishness, for the world esteems self-assurance and self-assertiveness. Meekness and humility plays no part in those around us whose only aim is to get on in life. The theme of humility occupies an important place in Luke's Gospel. He alone preserves for us two parables of the Lord Jesus, which are designed to impress upon the disciples the need for lowliness of mind. In Luke chapter 14, Christ describes the guests at a marriage feast who take the most honourable seats, only to experience the embarrassment later of having to give way to others more distinguished than themselves. And the lesson is brought out in verses 10 and 11. Let's read this parable together in Luke chapter 14 and verse 7. Now Jesus put forth a parable to those which were bidden. when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say unto thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say to thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The second parable is the very well-known one which brings into contrast the self-righteous Pharisee and the publican. It reinforces the moral of the first parable, where in Luke chapter 18 and verse 14 it says, I tell you this man went down into the house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humility, like all other Christian qualities, needs to be cultivated. We must ask God insistently to grant us the grace to think less of and less about ourselves. Developing humility is restraining the tongue, checking the boasting, and bridling the anger of a quick temper. With growth in humility, we come increasingly to see ourselves as others see us, and more importantly, as God sees us. Returning to Luke, dear brothers and sisters, upon this humble servant of Christ, God has bestowed a signal of honour. The longest of the four records of the Lord's life is Luke's, and his gospel, together with the books of the Acts, constitutes the largest contribution to the New Testament. This surely is no chance. We wonder, when Luke compiled all the information that was to make up the gospel record, the prison period seemed to be a likely period for Luke to have done his work. For being in one place, keeping Paul company, he would have the opportunity to work on the gospel. We know that Paul wrote many of his epistles whilst a prisoner. Dear brothers and sisters, how Paul would have appreciated him, especially in his imprisonments. If Paul can tell us that Luke was still ministering in the last hours of his trial, we know that he was a courageous, trustworthy companion who would not forsake in the hour of need. Paul endured considerable suffering and physical hardship, though through persecution, the rigours of travel and the harshness of prison. God in his mercy and grace provided a fellow labourer who could by his knowledge confirm the power and purpose of Christ's life. As demonstrated in the gospel, he would be preparing and also alleviate in some way Paul's physical problems. As in the case of so many worthies in the Bible, Luke was a man of character, gentle, sympathetic and selfless, truly revered as our beloved physician. Of his characteristics, even more may be discerned from a study of the Acts. He was kind-hearted and anxious to record a man's good points rather than his faults. For instance, is it not apparent from the record he wrote what a vile character Felix was? Neither does he relate to the disturbance of peace caused by Peter in the flourishing church at Antioch, which Paul describes fully in Galatians. Although incidents connected with it are described, nor does he offer criticism of either party in the dispute between Paul and Barnabas. Again, he is desirous of crediting a man with all the good points. How do we view our brethren and sisters? Are we anxious to look at their good points, or are we forever criticising? The exhortation to good works comes better from one who is a good example. Luke was one who took Jesus as his model. In meekness, love, care, zeal, he was an excellent reflection of his master. There was an excellent bond between Paul and Luke. Both so loved the Lord Jesus and were dedicated to his service. Dear brothers and sisters, let us then be followers of Luke and Paul as they were of Christ. Christ's service truly involves the cross before the crown. Luke experienced this, and he looked forward to the time when he should eat in God's kingdom. He looked for the appearance of the beloved physician who comes with an infallible power of healing, so that there shall be no more sick, neither shall men spend all their living on physicians. Prayer, no doubt, played a huge part in the life of Luke. It is surely no stretch of the imagination. While at the height of the storm in the Mediterranean, to envisage Paul and Luke engaged in earnest prayer. And it is Luke who, in his gospel record, in the parable of the Lord Jesus, tells his followers that they ought to pray and not faint. Prayer should be an essential element in our lives. It must be a regular daily activity. Luke's name means light bearer, and there was in the heart of Luke a burning desire to bring the healing of the gospel message to those in his own town. For him, the gospel was not simply a comfortable set of beliefs and an attractive set of values to give meaning and substance to an already busy and fulfilling career. The truth was a driving force. He could see the potential of the gospel to bring light into a world of darkness. He could see the potential of the gospel to bring light into a world of darkness and hope to men and women enslaved by the bondage of mortality. It could bind up the brokenhearted and comfort all that mourn. Dear brothers and sisters, for a man whose professional calling required him to relieve human affliction, the gospel offered the ultimate solution to man's fundamental sickness. We should be light bearers. It is our privilege and duty to shed abroad the light of the gospel from the ecclesia to the world around us. Multitudes of people are as sheep without a shepherd, and we have the means to make known the saving comfort of the truth and the warmth of the ecclesial fold. Dear brothers and sisters, these may indeed be the last days in which to preach. We look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light of the gospel must be absorbed by all who follow Christ. Jesus said in John's gospel record that we must become children of light. God does not require us to set ourselves so far apart from others that we have no ability to communicate with them. If our light is to shine before other people, we have to be near enough to them so that they might see it. If we never speak to our neighbours, we can't preach to them, and we shall hardly be living examples to them. God calls upon us to represent him in the world and to make him manifest by our own words, our examples, and our behaviour and activities. Luke did this to perfection, like so many worthies of old. Luke's example was the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he came to know so well by carefully finding out all that he could about him and writing of him. Luke's gospel opens with a careful explanation of his object and methods in writing. And let's read together what he says in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are more surely believed among us, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. The words perfect understanding carries the meaning traced out exactly. Luke had made the most thorough examination of those things the Spirit had led him to record. As we read Luke's gospel message, may our faith be strengthened and our hope made secure in the knowledge of the truth it contains concerning life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. Luke so modelled his life on the Lord Jesus, whom he came to learn so much about. We must do the same. And we can only do this by constantly reading of him. Our dear Lord was meek and lowly. He was kind and gentle to those who needed care, and also strong in his willing submission to his Father's will. He ministered tirelessly to the needs of others, healing the sick, comforting the lonely, and was often worn out. But not once do we hear of or we read of him complaining. He always put others first. The apostle refers to his master, who, he said, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He quoted the humility of Christ as an example to be followed by us. The light of God's word shone constantly from him. Never once did it go out. The Lord Jesus taught wherever opportunities arose. He travelled more than once through many places. He preached by the word, deed, and example. The places he preached were wherever people could be found. The Gospels record him preaching in homes, in the country, in synagogues, in the temple, by the seaside, walking along the way, resting himself, sitting on the mountains and hillsides, at mealtimes, sitting in a boat, and at a wedding. Dear brothers and sisters, may the truth be so dominant in our lives that we live it always, and preach it as he did at every opportunity. What an example he is to us. To the meek of the earth, Christ extends an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Only then, by coming to Jesus, can we find rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Luke learned from him and modelled his life upon him. Let us do likewise. As we continue to read Luke's account of the life, death, and resurrection of our dear Lord in our daily readings, let us thank our Heavenly Father that the account has been left on record for us to learn from. So let us remember now our dear Lord and Master, in the bread and the wine.
For our memorial hymn, brethren and sisters, we will sing hymn number 178A. 178A. Lord, thy death and resurrection we show this day. 'Tis a tribute of affection we all should pay. Wine outpoured, bread now broken, of thy sacrifice the token. Even so as thou hast spoken, we will obey. In 178A. We will now sing together hymn number 229, after which will Brother Rondell conclude our meeting with prayer. Hymn 229. The King of Love my Shepherd is, whose goodness fails me never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine for ever. Hymn 229.